Good morning. It's Friday, October 4th. The time is 8 a.m., and this is regional news for the Western Slope. I'm Travis Bubenik. Around half of the nearly 300 workers at Elk Creek Mine in Somerset were laid off this week after Oxbow Mining decided it will abandon in place a multi-million-dollar longwall mining machine. Mike Ludlow, executive vice president of the mine, told the Grand Junction Daily Sentinel the company decided to seal the longwall in place after they decided it was unsafe to try and recover it. Losing the longwall has already hurt Oxbow's coal production. According to the Daily Sentinel, the 800-foot-long machinery, capable of producing 1,700 tons of coal an hour, accounts for about 80% of the mine's output. The mine has been plagued by problems since back in January, when high levels of carbon monoxide were discovered, suggesting there were underground heating events happening in the mine. As the Daily Sentinel reports, some miners were fired in January after those initial findings, but some were brought back to work in safer areas of the mine. Though Ludlow says the company hopes to grow back its production and workforce in the years ahead, he said this round of layoffs is being considered permanent. Delta County Administrator Robbie LaVallee told the Daily Sentinel the impacts of the layoffs will be felt across Delta, Montrose, and Gunnison counties. LaVallee added that the drop in coal production will also have an impact on Delta County's sales tax in the immediate future, and sales tax revenues, rather, in the immediate future, and will affect severance taxes and federal mineral lease revenues next year. Anadarko Petroleum officials say the long shutdowns of oil and gas wells in flood-damaged parts of the state will cut its annual oil production by about 2.5 million barrels. As the Denver Post reports, the company is still expected to produce at least 281 million barrels this year, despite the drop in production. Anadarko shut down 675 of around 5,800 wells in the greater Wattenberg area before heavy flooding hit the Front Range earlier this month. Flood damage to transportation lines has kept Anadarko and other oil and gas companies from being able to open some wells back up. According to the Post, Anadarko says after conditions improve in the flood-ridden areas, the company plans to increase its production. That includes a plan to drill 350 to 400 new wells next year. With more than 1,000 civilians furloughed in the United States Air Force Academy, officials there are calling the government shutdown completely disruptive. KRCC's Andrea Chalfin has more.
Almost 20% of specialized academic courses are suspended and others combined. Other activities are curtailed. Superintendent Lieutenant General Michelle Johnson says operationally, while things like safety and medical continue, they're having to account for some of the basics of life, like laundry and toilet paper.
It's unfortunate that there's a bureaucratic term for our colleagues of non-essential, because it couldn't be more wrong about what we rely on. And it's a accounting term that we've used, but it certainly does not apply to the worth of our colleagues, from very basic things to even grander things.
Lieutenant General Johnson says long term they're concerned about the impacts on graduation requirements and accreditation. But Saturday's Air Force Navy football game in Maryland will go on thanks to a donation from USAA. The rest of the Falcon football schedule is, as of now, essentially canceled. For Rocky Mountain Community Radio, I'm Andrea Chalfin in Colorado Springs.
While the full impact of the government shutdown won't be determined for some time, the public in western Colorado is experiencing one immediate effect in the closure of many popular Forest Service recreation sites, one notable example being the immensely popular Maroon Bells area. KDNK's Eric Scalak spoke to Scott Fitzwilliams, forest supervisor for the White River National Forest, about what the shutdown means for fans of the forest.
Give us an idea of what's going on in the office right now.
Well, right now we're going through what we're calling an orderly shutdown, and so people are tying things up in their office, completing time and attendance records, and basically wrapping things up.
Give us an idea of how this shutdown is going to affect you and your colleagues, the Forest Service, and I guess ultimately the public.
Well, specifically, recreation facilities, including Maroon Bells, are being shut down. And as we speak, we're going to gate the road at the forest boundary, and cars won't be able to go up there until this furlough is over. And in addition, some of our facilities, like bathrooms and things like that, will be locked and secured. Now, our campgrounds that are run by concessionaires, we're allowed to keep open. People can use the forest. People can hike into the forest, but developed facilities are shut down, and obviously all our offices and all our visitor information people will be going home. There'll be a couple of us that remain in the office in case of emergency, myself included. We have a couple of fire people just in case of emergency, and a couple of contract administrators that will be on site just in case there's a contract question, ongoing timber sales or something like that. Some of our contracts, we have some culvert replacements and bridge replacements that they're all being shut down.
Scott, do you have any numbers at your disposal of how many employees are being furloughed today?
About 150 permanent employees on the White River, and then probably another, I don't have the exact list, but probably another 50 or 60 seasonal employees, and then volunteers also will be, they're not really furloughed because they're not being paid, but because, you know, they take on the same protections and things like that of an employee when they're volunteering, they'll be sent home too. Now, some people are already gone in our office. They just had to, you know, if they're office people, that just had to take care of some basic office closures. Other people, it's going to take a day or two to complete some of the closures that we need to do.
As the shutdown continues, you know, if this lasts a week, how will that affect you guys?
I really don't know. You know, we're just going to take these, you know, day by day, and we'll see how it goes. For now, we have this first phase to go through, and we'll do that. And, you know, really, it's a pretty fluid situation. It's not all that common that we get into this. So we get direction, and then we do carry it out. But, you know, as of noon today, most of our employees will be home, and they'll, you know, stay home until they get a call to come back. You know, probably the most important thing in the Aspen area, there was some reports that Maroon Bells was going to remain open, and that's just not true. We have clear direction that fee sites and these types of facilities are to be shut down. And it's really unfortunate this time of year, but, you know, it's nothing we can control right now.
Scott Fitzwilliams, Forest Supervisor for the White River National Forest, thanks so much for speaking with us, and good luck.
Okay, thank you very much.
That was KDNK's Eric Scalag. A pair of Republican state lawmakers took the oath of office yesterday after winning historic recall elections last month. Gun control legislation was behind the recall effort. But even with two more Republican senators at the state capitol, Democrats are still in control of both the House and Senate. Bente Birkeland has more.
It's the first recall of state lawmakers in Colorado history, and the swearing-in ceremony attracted a lot of well-wishers to the Senate chambers. The crowd listened attentively as George Rivera and Bernie Herpin promised to faithfully perform the duties of state senator.
To the best of my ability.
To the best of my ability.
So help me God.
So help me God.
Mazel tov.
Colorado Springs Republican Bernie Herpin replaces Democrat John Morris. Herpin is a retired military officer and says he plans to restore citizens' rights, make Colorado more business-friendly, and protect children. He called his election humbling and says he will never forget the lesson of this summer.
This is truly a government of the people, by the people, for the people, and we serve at the pleasure of those we represent.
Thursday's ceremony was the culmination of an intense multi-million-dollar recall campaign that drew large out-of-state donations. Pueblo Republican George Rivera replaces Angela Jaron, who was ousted by a sizable majority in a Democratic district. Rivera quoted from the Bible and thanked his family and supporters.
My good friend Jenna said, "Don't get emotional." Can't help it.
Stricter gun laws passed last legislative session, including universal background checks and a limit on high-capacity magazines of more than 15 rounds, spurred the recall effort. And while the incoming lawmakers didn't mention gun control, it wasn't far from anyone's minds. Republican Representative Chris Hulbert of Parker says next session he plans to try and repeal the magazine limit.
That was not a good law. It's not good for the people of Colorado. And I think that's what has brought the most pressure upon the current majority. People in Colorado would like to see that bill repealed.
Democrats still hold a majority in both chambers and say they're proud of the gun laws and have no plans to scale them back. Senate Minority Leader Bill Cadman of Colorado Springs says he hopes lawmakers can move beyond the bitter legislative session and renew relationships.
And serve the people of Colorado as a body united, not a partisanship that is divided.
Democratic Senate President Pro Tem Lucia Guzman of Denver presided over the ceremony, but no other Democratic lawmakers were there. She says she felt a bit melancholy and isn't surprised her colleagues didn't show up.
There was certainly a sense in my heart of sadness, reminiscing about my colleagues who sat there and who sat there.
Guzman says her side lost, and now it's time to get on with things. Next up will be the election of a new Senate president to replace John Morris. Democrats say they hope to wrap up the election within the next few weeks. Senate Majority Leader Morgan Carroll of Aurora is considered the frontrunner. I'm Benta Berkland at the State Capitol.
Capitol coverage is funded by the Gill Foundation's Gay and Lesbian Fund for Colorado, a proud supporter of local organizations like the Colorado Department of Education and its programs to prepare and inspire the next generation of science, technology, engineering, and math teachers.
You're listening to KVNF Mountain Grown Community Radio. For KVNF News, I'm Travis Bubinick.